right, welcome to the program. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you today from Las Vegas. And Josh Applebaum is on the show. It's Tuesday. Josh Applebaum is on the show from Boston. Josh, how are you, man?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Yeah, we have so much to get to. Obviously, going to wrap up really sharp play last night that cashed the Vegas Raiders. Pritch, I did it. If you took the over/under over a halftime, I'd say it. Boom, you just cashed.
That wasn't even a minute into the show. A little bit there.
that was a little early, but yeah, we got a lot to get to. We got NFL Week 3 lines coming out. Seeing a lot of moves. I want to talk to you about Pritch. Big NBA game as well. And don't forget on baseball. We have about 16 games today. Last week of the season. Great money making opportunity for bettors.
Absolutely. You think about baseball too, down the stretch here and up for grabs some of these divisions. So looking forward to that with you, Josh. Let's start with Monday Night Football in Las Vegas. Monday Night Football. How about that? I didn't think I would ever say that, but I said it. But a great game. You know, you think about the Raiders, you think about the Saints. The Saints had that Super Bowl window open, but the Raiders came to play. This line opened at New Orleans -5.5. It moved around a little bit. And then at the week, right before the game, I think it closed New Orleans -4. What'd you think about that line movement, Josh?
Yeah, I was really, you know, glued into this line movement. This was really interesting to me, and it was fun to track. And especially that last, you know, I would say 2 hours before the game started, you saw a big sharp move here to the Raiders. But you were right, Pritch. You know, the way this line opened, it opened at Saints -5.5. I think it's important to, you know, go back over some of these games and see if you can, you know, spot something or use something to your advantage moving forward. And I think this was a good example, because when this line opened, it was Saints -5.5. Saints were a very public play, you know, in a Monday Night Football game or any primetime game that does provide a lot of value to go the other way and go contrarian and bet against that public bias. So the Saints were 5.5. They got up to -6.5 based on about 2/3 of bets in their favor. And then really two big things happened. Number one was the Michael Thomas injury. When news broke of Thomas being out, sidelined for a bit here, you saw that line immediately get adjusted down to around 6, 5.5. But then as we got closer and closer to game time, and I think the important thing to remember here is these late moves that come in on game day, that's when limits are highest. That's when books are taking in the biggest bets. You saw really a late play toward Vegas, where they were around 5.5, got down to 4.5, then got down to 4. Some books even closed at 3.5. So, Pritch, that's a situation where, you know, the entire time Vegas had value as being just contrarian in a primetime game. But again, going contrarian isn't just about going against what everyone else is doing. You got to have an element of sharp action and make sure you're with the pro money. And when you saw that line fall 5.5 to 4 on game day, boom, that was a dead giveaway that pros were loading up on Vegas, causing that line move in their favor.
You know, Josh, I was talking to some people about that too, actually last night during the game, towards the end of the game, when it became apparent that Vegas was going to win, the Vegas Raiders. great to say that right now, but how do you separate the public money that was coming in on the Raiders as well, as you think about all the fans that were coming to Las Vegas to watch their football team? And then on top of that, see that sharp action. I know you always say sharps, they moved the lines, but you also had public money involved with that movement as well.
Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, obviously you're at the epicenter of it, Pritch. So I'm in New England. Maybe I didn't get the feel there on the ground for what a, you know, exciting time it was there for Vegas fans. But kind of everything that I was looking at, you know, and I monitor basically betting percentages and line moves from not just Vegas, but and not just all these new legal books across America, but right, also the global markets and global percentages. And really everything that I was looking at was about 2/3 of bets grabbing New Orleans there. And it makes total sense. I mean, the Saints are a great team. They're a big public team. They have still have Drew Brees and kind of just the Saints, you know, kind of feel to want to bet on them in a big Monday night spot. I think that's where the public was siding. But you are right, Pritch. It wasn't purely, you know, purely public on New Orleans. You did start to see a little bit of money there from recreational bettors on Nevada. But to me, it was those pros with an edge that really were getting down on Vegas, which caused that line move. And remember, you know, when you see a line fall 5.5 to 4, it's not $5 bets dropping that line toward Vegas. It's big money from respected bettors who are really forcing odds makers to adjust their numbers.
Right, and that's why you're the best, Josh, because you get the market insights, not just Vegas or a particular area that you live in. So certainly valuable information and a great learning lesson, too, because I'm thinking in Vegas, all the money's here, right? But this is a billion-dollar industry. All the money's not in Vegas. So that's interesting to note. You think about the performance of Derek Carr going toe-to-toe with Drew Brees. Brees. He outdueled him, played better. Drew Brees, some questions about him. You think of the Raiders now within a division, their win total up to 8.5. I guess a little bit more respect. The Raiders surprising folks right now.
Yeah, they are 2-0 start. And I think, you know, I think the defense, if they can buckle down on defense, you know, you kind of like their offensive game. And Pritch, I'm sure you can get more into depth into it than I can. But when you have Jacobs, and I think Waller is really the kind of guy that really opens up that offense and creates a lot of mismatches and a lot of problems. And again, you have Gruden, a good offensive mind in general. I mean, the one thing that was, you know, funny to me last night, and again, you know, I want to always, you know, be transparent with the audience and, hey, this sharp play won. But then you did have a sharp play that lost. You know, we did see the under there yesterday take in a lot of smart money across the board. Remember, in primetime games, public is going to – they want to bet the favorite. They want to bet the over. They want to root for the better team. They want to root for points in general. And you did have a heavy amount of betting on that over, expecting a shootout. Remember, the Raiders played a high-scoring game in their week one, and you also saw New Orleans hang a bunch of points on the Bucks. But that game opened around a 51.5 total, Pritch, got down to 48.5. Then that last hour before game time dropped to 47.5. And what do you know? It flew over. So that was a sharp play that lost in general. But I wanted to ask you, Pritch, I have my own theories about why overs are doing so well. But the updated stats here, it's kind of incredible. Through 2 weeks in the NFL, the over is 20-12. That's 62%. You never see overs cash at that rate. So any reasons why you think maybe the offense is doing so well so far?
Well, typically, I think people think that defenses are ahead of offenses to begin a season. But this is unprecedented offseason. And when you think about that, offenses with continuity are ahead of defenses. I mean, you think about the combination of Derek Carr and John Gruden. They're together 3 years. You think about Peyton and Drew Brees. They've been together forever. You know, similar circumstances across the league with the continuity aspect, I think that's adding to it. But also, in the beginning of the year, I always call it a scheme game. In other words, teams like to out-scheme the other team. And then as we get to November and the playoff races start to materialize, then you'll see the matchup game in the National Football League. So it's really not about matchups right now unless you can exploit that consistently. But to me, it's all about scheming and who can come up with a better game plan and who can execute early on in the season.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pritch. And, you know, one thing I wanted to get your take on, too, is this just came to me. I could be totally off. But from, you know, 2 weeks of watching the NFL and watching a lot of games, one thing I have noticed, and I was wondering going into this year, I think all bettors were, you know, how would this weird year with the weird offseason and no preseason games, you know, impact dogs and favorites, overs and unders. But to me, one thing is with the lack of crowd, I'm wondering if that has something to do with these overs doing well also, because, you know, you think about it, and it really dawned on me when I was watching Tom Brady in that Bucks game. He's barking out signals. He's communicating with his offense. He's, you know, locating the Mike linebacker. And basically, what does that mean? It means that, you know, you don't have that crazy raucous crowd that's causing false starts and, you know, miscommunication. It seems like the lack of crowd noise is helping the offense because they can really, you know, communicate and tell people where to go. And maybe that's providing an advantage to the offense and more scoring.
No, I can get on board with that. I think there is something to that too, because typically as a road team in a hostile environment, I mean, it's hard to communicate. It's hard to execute. But now without a crowd or you're not worried about that situation, now you can just go out there and execute. But you think about the Saints in that regard. So no crowd. Why did the Saints, why were they not able to execute, right? Especially with Drew Brees. So then it goes back to the play of the players. And that's what I want to lead you into in terms of Drew Brees. That win total is still the same for the Saints, 10.5. Their odds to win the Super Bowl at 12-1.
Yeah, no, I think that's intriguing. And, you know, again, I think, you know, this past week was overreaction week. I think as we get into week three, you know, there's a pretty good system I look at in week three, teams that are 0-2 straight up or 0-2 against the spread and haven't covered. And those teams are kind of good to buy low on in general. But I think, you know, one thing with the Saints win total that jumped out to me, obviously they're you know, they're 1-1 here. And I think they're still in for a good year, especially get Thomas back. I think you worry a little bit about Drew Brees and, you know, Brees and Brady getting up there in age. Are they starting to show it a little bit? But one thing with the Saints that I would harken back to is, you know, we did a lot of shows, Pritch, in the offseason looking at win totals, and you consistently saw that Saints win total juice to the under. And I think that that's something where in win totals, the public really wants to bet overs. They expect teams to go 13-3, 14-2, these, you know, these really good teams in general. But it seems to me that that smart money on that under is proven out. And again, the Saints team, I think they're going to be in it at the end, but if you're expecting a 14-2 year, I don't know if you're going to get it this year.
Right, and could have been a trap game too for the Saints. I mean, you think about Tampa Bay, you gear up all season, all offseason or training camp for that big matchup in the division. Then you go on the road to Vegas and you play the Raiders, and okay, now you go home in a game that you're waiting for with the Green Bay Packers. So maybe a trap game situation for the Saints too, a letdown. But if you like the Raiders, Josh, if you like the Raiders, and you can get plus money to make the playoffs, plus 145. I mean, that seems kind of interesting.
It definitely does. And Pritch, we might have to do a friendly wager here because your Raiders are playing my Patriots this week. So we got a good line move to dissect here too. So, but yeah, I think the Raiders, you know, maybe you're starting to see the continuity where Gruden and Mayock, you know, kind of created that foundation. They made some draft picks that, you know, they got some criticism for, but it seems to me that now you're in, you know, this multi-year rebuild plan. You're starting to see the fruits of this rebuild start to pay off. And you add that to the excitement of, you know, coming to Las Vegas, and hey, the Raiders look good so far.
Yeah, and I look around the league too, and some teams do not look good so far. And you know, in particular, Houston, or even, you know, you look in that division, a little shaky division, or just a more competitive situation. Jacksonville is surprising people this year so far, but some terrible teams. The Raiders off to a fast start. Maybe you take a second look at that plus 145, Josh. As we look around college football a little bit, I did want to dive into to the Big Ten because we have divisional winners and conference odds here for the Big Ten. Ohio State, no surprise here, their favorite, minus 304. Michigan, plus 300 to win a division. With the topsy-turvy nature of college football, you never know what you're going to get in terms of who's going to be canceled or postponed. I don't know how you look at pricing Wisconsin on their division, plus 150. I don't know how you navigate college football. Do you have any insight there?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think, you know, with sports coming back, it's been really exciting. And I think, you know, a lot of these sports in general have been, you know, I'm not going to say easy, but much easier than betting on college football. We're just seeing here, I mean, you know, there are some sharp plays where, to me, I think if you're betting college football, you got to be extremely disciplined. You got to follow these, you know, school beat reporters and school newspaper writers and get the, you know, the idea of what's going on the ground level with all these different colleges. And I would just be very selective and disciplined. And I would look at situations like, for example, when you saw Miami and Louisville, you know, that was a sharp play where that line was around 2.5 to Louisville the whole time, saw it fall to around 1.5 pick 'em. So I guess my, you know, recommendation here is it's okay to be selective in a really weird year with college football, hold out for those sharp moves that really slap you in the face. And you say, man, there's something going on here. And again, leading to an unpredictable season. If something really jumps out to you, make the play. But if not, tread lightly. It's a weird college football year.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Big Ten and some of those schools were working out, hoping that the conference commissioners or presidents will get together and, okay, let's proceed with our football season in the fall. But I don't know how you get ready. It's kind of like the NFL. You have that acclimation period, and now you're playing games. Well, in college, no spring ball. No real off season, and then no training camp that you're accustomed to. Now, I look at schools, and certainly there's a talent ratio difference, and but then also I look at schools that have recruited well over the last few years too, and maybe some room for surprises there.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And again, continuity, no matter what sport you're betting on, is huge, especially in college. So I think that's key. Do you have a lot of returning starters? Maybe that's going to be more meaningful this year than other years. Are you turning over a new program with a new coach? I would look to kind of bet against that sort of situation. So again, this is a sport where, you know, some of these market moves are easy to identify. Like in the NFL, you kind of know what you're working with kind of the variance of college football. To me, you got to do even more homework than usual and lean on those schools that are returning a lot of seniors and juniors and have a coach with a program in place. Those are the little things I think you want to make sure you lean on this year.
You do. And then the COVID aspect, and then also the big man on campus aspect, these guys, these kids, they're going to party. I mean, you're going to win a big game. Mike, well, like you mentioned, Louisville and Miami. I mean, you're going to celebrate that. And then how are you going to prevent these kids from doing what they normally do, acting that, like they normally want to act with student bodies? So I don't know how you isolate student athletes like they do in the National Football League.
I agree with you. And I think these are, you know, you're starting to see, you know, different. I think Notre Dame, that game might have been canceled. You know, you're seeing a lot of cancellations just across the board and a lot of unpredictability regardless. So it's tough. These, you know, I remember when I was in college and you think you're invincible because you're young, and Fritz, you know the deal too. And but I think you got to take this very seriously. And it's really the teams that I think take it seriously and avoid. And again, it's tough when you're young. Avoid the social, you know, aspect of being drawn into wanting to go to big parties. I think the teams that avoid that the most and stay the healthiest, they're probably going to be glad they did when you get throughout deeper into the year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think back when I was big man on campus, like, you know, during COVID. What are you doing tonight? Well, I'm going back to the apartment and I'm going to watch TV. Like, really? You know, we just beat Nebraska. We're about to play for the national title. I mean, you're going to want to go do something. And more power to the student athletes, more power to college football. They're trying to get this season in, Josh. And that's better for us if we want the action. Certainly want to participate with college football and all that betting action. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM is going to roll along. Josh and I are going to get into week two of the National Football League in terms of what have we learned. Maybe we learned some lessons here that can help us in the future. That's coming up next. Baseball and hockey action at BetMGM Sports isn't enough for you. Football is back at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sportsbook and casino action in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you, Josh Applebaum with you as well. And Josh, you mentioned it earlier about the overs and the high percentage there in the National Football League. Overs are crushing it at 62%. No crowd noise. You talked about that point, which was excellent. What else have we learned from week two in the National Football League?
Yeah, so I think just sticking with that overtrend for a second here, one thing that I would look out for too, and kind of got to think of, you know, the way the odds makers are handling this, not only in this moment, but historically, anytime you see a big stretch of one certain thing doing very well in a small amount of time. So what can we say about overs? They're crushing it. They're 62%. Who does the public love to bet? Aside from favorites, they love betting overs. So what does that mean? It means that a lot of recreational bettors are continuing to cash all these overs. So what is that going to lead to? To me, it's going to lead to not only the public continuing to bet these overs, but I think the odds makers are going to set these lines with this over, you know, bonanza in mind. And maybe some of these totals are going to open up a little higher than they would normally, and they're going to get pushed up by public action in general. So I think in sports betting, we always kind of see a regression to the mean. And I think, you know, long-term, I think this will start to even out. So I would look to see maybe some inflated under opportunities this week. One that I'm looking at, Pritch, real quick, this Thursday night game, talking about Miami and Jacksonville. You know, this is one of the biggest total moves thus far, and it's only a couple days away. It opened at around Jacksonville in terms of the spread, around -1.5, -2. It's up to around -3. You remember home favorites Thursday night do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Jags -2.5 was kind of the last, I would say, sharp move in that spot. But the total here, open around 44.5. It's all up to 47.5. So I think at some point with these big moves, you're going to have some buyback opportunities on unders. But Pritch, what do you think? Is this overtrend going to continue, or do you see kind of a regression about to take place with some unders?
There could be a regression. I think, you know, from a book standpoint, they're certainly going to gauge the market there. And then from a sharp standpoint, and then certainly with market insight standpoint, you're going to look for those adjustments too to try to see if you can find an angle. Typically, from my viewpoint as a player, defenses will catch up. You know, there's more and more film out there. There's more and more things to come up with a game plan, more and more things to see to stop potentially. And I think that's about to happen. You know, you're talking about week three, week four. That's when teams are really going to start to settle in. If you want to equate the first 2 weeks to preseason football, do that. But expect these defenses in the National Football League to get better.
I agree with you. And kind of the other, you know, point, the other thing I learned from this past week is kind of something that I knew, but I think we're just seeing it happen again. Really, that Super Bowl hangover for the team that lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's kind of funny to say that because, you know, the Niners did win and cover and really blow out the Jets there. They're on a 7-point favorite. They cover that number pretty easily, 31-13. But really, the injury bug is hitting them pretty hard. So San Francisco, obviously, Nick Bosa, their stud edge rusher, is now out for the year. Solomon Thomas is hurt. George Kittle is still hurt. Garoppolo has a high ankle sprain. They say it's not that bad, and he actually may play. I'd be surprised. I don't know. We'll see how that develops. But I would look at an opportunity here. It's funny. San Fran is going to the Giants here in week three, and that would be, you know, a West Coast team going east for an early 1 o'clock game. The opener was pretty much consensus -6.5, -6 to San Fran. It quickly got adjusted with all these injuries that took place. But I'm seeing kind of a value play buy low opportunity on the New York Giants. You know, they lost by 4 to Chicago, but covered that number and battled and, you know, kept it somewhat close. But this line is moving to the Giants. You know, it's down to 4.5. I'm seeing some books even down to 4. So I'd keep an eye on the Giants. I mean, they lost Saquon Barkley too, Fritz, but I think that may be almost somewhat of an overvalued standpoint. He really wasn't giving them great production. But what do you think, Pritch? What's your take on the Niners long term, and any value you see on the Giants here plus the points at home on Sunday?
I do see value. I believe the 49ers are licking their wounds right now. You know, you mentioned the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl hangover potentially. That could be happening. But also, you lose your quarterback, you lose some key players, and you're also staying on the road. I mean, they didn't want to travel back to San Francisco before going back to play New York and the Giants. Coming up next on Betting Across America, Sean Devaney will join the show. We're going to break down some action from the NBA as Betting Across America continues right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How did your football betting go this weekend? As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting guide and with power ratings and consensus picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows. The college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies. Daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you from Las Vegas. Josh Applebaum with you as well from Boston. And on the phone with us right now is Sean Devaney, right, NBA writer for Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Josh. How are you?
Doing well. So we wanted to talk about the NBA matchup tonight. I mean, you think about the Nuggets in a must-win situation. Now, they've overcome must-win situations when you think about game sevens, but this is game three, and the Lakers are rolling right now. What are your chances? What do you think of the chances of the Nuggets making a series and making a go of it tonight?
You know, I think you have to look at what happened in game two and feel pretty good if you're the Nuggets, despite the final play, and we all know what happened on that one. Denver seemed to find some things that really did work in that game, especially in that second half. How they bounced back from being down early in that first half. I think Jokic really sort of found his rhythm, found a way that he could attack that Lakers defense, especially when they play Anthony Davis at the five. Jokic is just so big and strong, he can really body Davis out of the way and get whatever position that he wants. I think Jokic has been hesitant to do that, but it seemed like in the second half of that game that he really did get comfortable with that. So, you know, there's definitely some things I think if you're the Nuggets, you could say that they feel comfortable with, and maybe they can carry that into game three and make this thing 2-1 and give themselves a little bit of life.
Sean, thanks so much for joining us today. This is Josh. It's great to meet you for the first time. Just kind of along those lines, sticking to this Nuggets-Lakers game, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the total, because this total is 214, and basically you have heavy, heavy betting on the over, yet the line hasn't risen. The way I view that is basically there's some liability and some smart money to this under. Same thing with the spread, where it opened 6.5, really has not moved. Seems like the public is kind of being goaded into laying this number with the Lakers, but this is actually the lowest spread of the series thus far. We had a 7.5, a 7, now a 6.5. Obviously a crushing loss there at the end for the Nuggets. I guess my question to you is, you know, what type of game do the Nuggets need it to be in order to either cover this number or win the game outright possibly? Because, you know, it seems to me when the pace gets picked up, that's when the Lakers roll. If you keep it to a lower scoring game, at least that's what we've seen this series, the Nuggets maybe have a better shot. But if you're looking at the Nuggets tonight, what kind of game do they need to play in order to get back in this series?
Yeah, they definitely need to slow the pace down. That, you know, the Lakers are so good in transition, and they have really had no answer for them. When the Lakers want to get out and run, you know, we've seen several times in this series where the Nuggets have actually had a guy back. You know, if it's Gary Harris, who it has often been, then that really hasn't done a lot to help them. They've got the Lakers have so many long wings, and they're able to finish when they get out in the fast break, even if Denver is back and trying to defend it. You know, Gary Harris at 6'4", and he's talking about having LeBron at 6'8", or Caldwell Pope at 6'5", 6'6". They just have more size than the Nuggets. So I think transition really has been a problem. Transition defense has been a problem for the Nuggets. So they do want to slow things down. They want to be deliberate with their offense. They want the Lakers taking the ball out from the baseline and not getting out and running, not getting those deflections that they've been so good at. I think that it's going to be in the Nuggets' best interest to try to slow this game down like they did in the second half of game two. I think that'll be the objective here. And I think they'll be able to do it. You know, the Lakers are comfortable playing that way, but as we've seen throughout these playoffs, when the game does slow down, the Lakers are more vulnerable, at the least to a close game, if not to a loss.
You know, for the Nuggets too to adjust offensively, Jokic had a decent game, like you mentioned, a pretty good game actually in game two. They need Jamal Murray too, though. I mean, Batman needs Robin. Chances of Jamal Murray showing up in a big way tonight.
Yeah, you know, Murray's been good, but he needs to be great. Right. You know, in this series, you know, when you look at the Nuggets, they get the scoring that they're going to get from Jokic and Murray, and after that, it's a pretty steep drop off. They've gotten good contributions from Michael Porter Jr., but you know, he's a rookie, and it's probably not something that you want to rely on. You know, they need their top guys to be a lot more, to be a lot closer to 30 than they are to 23-24, and that's certainly the case with Murray. You know, he's played well, but he needs to be great for them to have a chance in the series. And you know, you think back to the Utah series when they're in the similar situation. situation, that is when he really turned it on and went from, a very good young player to a guy who was a potentially elite player down the road in the NBA, as we saw with some of the performances he put up against the Jazz. He needs to do that. And the Lakers are a good defensive team, but you know, he's got to be able to get into the 30s, I think, to give Denver offensively enough punch to keep pace with the Lakers.
Sean, we only have a couple of minutes left here, but I wanted to get your thoughts going from west to east, talking about the Celtics and the Heat tomorrow night. Obviously, you know, the Celtics went had that locker room tirade, and maybe it benefited them. They came back and had a win, got back into the series here. This line opened 2.5 with the Celtics. It's now up to 3. How do you think this layoff is going to affect both teams? I mean, I would say Gordon Hayward getting more rest, it can only be a good thing. But who do you like in this series, and what do you expect in this next upcoming game?
Yeah, I think from a Celtics perspective, it is kind of twofold. On one hand, you'd like to see you got the win there in Game 3. You'd like to get right back out and play Game 4 now that you've got the momentum here. At the same time, you need Gordon Hayward played 30 minutes coming back, 5 weeks off after that ankle injury, so he wants to get as much rest as possible. So that'll benefit the Celtics. I think that Boston can come out, win Game 4, and really maintain that momentum going forward.
Sean, thank you so much for your time today. We're up against it. Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Heavy.com and Forbes Sports, joins Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. When we continue, Josh and I are also going to go through some lines that just don't make sense right now. That's coming up next. September is showtime at BetMGM Sports, and they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers versus the Nuggets game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers versus Nuggets game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older. Colorado, must be physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you know somebody who has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, I saw some lines that I wanted to send over to you in regards to that they don't look right to me. Talking about the Rams and the Bills. I'm thinking the Bills should get that 3 points for being at home in this matchup as the Rams travel across country to face the Bills again.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And if you like the Bills, I think you're probably going to get a better number than what it opened at, because this game here, obviously two teams that are playing very well, both 2-0, both have gone undefeated thus far. You saw the Rams look great so far. They beat Dallas on that Sunday night game. Then they go into Philly and roll 37-19. Remember, that was a big line move in their favor. Buffalo, they beat the Jets by 10. They kind of feasted off, I would say, kind of bad divisional opponents. They also went to Miami and won, which is kind of a tough spot there, but weren't able to cover the 5.5. But this game here, you're seeing a pretty decent sized move in favor of the Rams. This game opened with the Buffalo Bills listed as a 3-point favorite. So again, it's not always that, 3 points for home field advantage, and again, take away the crowd noise, but they're kind of saying these teams are pretty evenly matched in general. Okay. But we've seen this line move 2 Kuprich, the Rams. And I think this is, you know, I would say both teams are 2-0, but the public perception of the Rams is probably much higher than it is compared to the Bills. But this line has fallen. It's off that key number of 3. You know, some books I'm actually seeing go to 2. So this line is falling even further. So it looks to me like you did have some smart money. Grab the Rams, ideally getting the key number of 3. I would assume that this is going to be a big public play throughout the week on the Rams. You will have a buy low opportunity to grab the Bills. And also keep an eye out for the weather here, Pritch, because early reports, it could be rainy. You could have about 15-mile-an-hour winds. It could be kind of blustery and gross in western New York there. So maybe that plays to the Bills' advantage. But, Pritch, what do you like about the Bills? Is that's kind of a tough environment to play in general, and maybe the Rams are being overvalued.
I think the Rams could be. I mean, I'm going back to that line with the Rams and Philly. And how much that line moves, certainly. But the Rams played a great game. I think Philly got exposed there, too. That entire division, really, for the NFC East is kind of wide open and kind of exposed, too. The Rams, I'm not confident with them traveling across country again. There's a reason why San Francisco stayed on the East Coast. When you think about it and you consider the Rams, I know COVID probably a concern. That's why you go back home. But you went to Philly. You're going to travel all the way back to L.A. And now you're going to go up to Buffalo again. And Josh Allen is playing great football. I think Stephon Diggs, the addition there, has added a component that is dangerous offensively for Buffalo. Buffalo still wants to run the football and still use the legs of Josh Allen, but I still think with that added dimension, they just have a little bit more explosiveness on the outside that the Rams have to be aware of.
I agree. And I think, you know, the funny thing is you talk about this, you know, explosiveness on both sides, and this is another total that's risen, you know, this total open at 45, it's up to 47.5. So this number really is starting to rise here. You have some injuries to monitor here, because if you like the Bills, really, they lost their two middle inside linebackers with Edmonds and Milano, and you really want to get them back if you're going to bet on Buffalo here. But I agree, you know, it's funny, how far will this line fall? When do we start to see buyback? That's the waiting game you're going to play now. But I agree with you. It seems to me the Bills will probably be in a spot here where they're maybe not getting the respect they deserve, and public is just so high on the Rams in general.
You know, and those injuries too, is there a reason for that line discount too, I wonder? I mean, you think about the Bills and that defense. I mean, pretty good defense, but yet with key injuries. I mean, Edmonds in particular, maybe there's a reason why the Sharps grabbed that key number early.
Yeah, that could definitely be part of it. And again, you know, we're gonna have to monitor a lot of injuries here, because the lack of the you know, the preseason, and a lot of guys are getting hurt. And I think this is a week where you got to really stay plugged into these injury reports. I mean, we know the big guys who have gotten hurt, Saquon Barkley and Bosa and Garoppolo. But I think it's key as a bettor, you want to be aware of all these matchups. And I'll look for cluster injuries, Pritch. You know, if you see, like with Buffalo, a cluster injury with their linebackers, or a team where a bunch of their receivers are out, to me, those are the ones that create a lot of mismatches that bettors should be aware of.
Okay, let's move on to the next game that I identified that I said, okay, these lines don't seem right, Josh. And it was 56 last night. I think it's down to 55.5 between Dallas and Seattle. Dallas on the road facing a pretty potent Seattle Seahawks team. I just thought that total might be too high, kind of like that regression to the mean situation that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's really, I believe, your highest total of the week here. You know, the only close one is Detroit, Arizona's up there in the 50s. You also have KC and Baltimore. Can't wait to talk that game with you, Pritch, here. But I agree with you. I think, you know, you saw, obviously, the Cowboys come back there 40-39. You saw the Patriots in Seattle play a really high-scoring game. To me, this is a no-brainer for the public. I mean, they see two teams, you know, who could, you know, hang up 40 on their own. Odds makers really set this pretty high to begin with. I would see if you start to see this line to drop, because again, you know, I don't think you're going to want to get in shootouts. You know, if you're on either side, really, you want to start to play more defense, see this line fall. That could be your most inflated total of the week. And I bet you Sharps will be eyeing that under in that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the discussion we had in regards to defenses, week 3 film. Look, if your defense is lacking right now, if you know that you have to pay attention to that side of the ball, then as a team, you're going to pay attention to that side of the ball. Seattle, they're going to try to get better defensively. You got Pete Carroll. You think about Dallas, they're going to try to get better defensively because of what happened early on in that game against Atlanta. So attention to detail will rear its head, I believe, and that's why I thought this total might be a little bit too high.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, game plan wise, matchup wise, you play game theory. What's the best way to beat Russell Wilson? You know, keep him on the sideline, you know, run the clock and chew the clock and pound Ezekiel Elliott. So I think those are the sort of things you want to look at. And I agree with your pitch. That jumped out to me automatically. And I would say that hook probably will be gone sooner rather than later on the 55.5.
Philly, a pretty good home favorite, -6.5 now. Last night I saw -6 against Cincy. You think about Burrow and his performance against Cleveland, a little bit more time for preparation. This kid looks poised to me. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I don't know. Or just discounting Philly here as the heavy home favorite.
Yeah, this one's intriguing to me, too. This line does seem a little bit high. I don't know. A lot of bettors are kind of waiting on the Eagles to show up. And Michael Lombardi has done a great job of explaining how, you know, since the Super Bowl, they're kind of a 500 team. And I think it's the Eagles and the mantra of Carson Wentz. And you remember that Super Bowl, and they still kind of get this public love, even though they've got a lot of injuries. They really haven't replaced a lot of guys. This is a team that is not playing well in general. So one thing I would point out, you know, with Cincinnati too, they're going to have a rest advantage. They played on Thursday night. They're going to have extra time to game plan and get ready for this spot here. So some books did open, you know, 6.5, and they're down to 6. So it looks like some value there was seen by wise guys on the Bengals getting the points there. The hook may end up being critical there if you have a 6-point game, but I agree with you. That line seems a little bit high. It's interesting to me. Will this line fall even further? I think the Bengals at 6.5, especially, did open some eyes for sharps.
You know, something that's not talked about either, Josh, with Philly, not only the injuries, but Zach Ertz and his contract, not happy there. You think about Burton, he left from that Super Bowl team. They're completely different now. Defensively, they're not the same. Offensively, they're not the same. I don't know when Alshon Jeffery and all that situation is going to resolve itself either. D-Jack as a weapon, Rager, the rookie, he was injured early on in camp too. So I'm not buying into Philly that way as such a heavy home favorite. Your thoughts on why Philly is getting the respect that they're getting right now?
I think it's really based on perception and kind of just the way the betting market views these big market teams that I think within the odds makers perspective, I think they probably set a good line because even though the Eagles have looked poorly, an average bettor says, okay, it's still the Eagles. They're still at home. They still have Carson Wentz.
Right.
You're telling me they can't, you know, cover and beat the Bengals. So you got to remember the odds makers setting lines. Their goal is to set a line that, you know, brings in fair action on both sides, 50-50. Now it's a misconception. They always want 50-50 action because if they know that one side is, you know, sharper than the other and taking in smart money, they're okay with a little liability if they feel that they're on the right side. But to me, this is probably just a test case of setting a number where they think they can get 50-50 action on this game.
Yeah, and since you're really not a public team at all either.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you'd like Joe Burrow, I mean, I think from a betting standpoint, I don't know what you're willing to wager there on that situation, but intriguing. Hey, I did it. I looked at some lines last night and I came across 3 lines that I disagreed with, and I think I did a good job according to what you said here.
You are doing great. I'm a proud co-host today, Pritch. It's great, man. I love it.
Yeah, I'm getting there, Josh. You know, the market insights, the contrarian view, I love that. You know, as a guy who looks at the stock market myself, I can appreciate that contrarian viewpoint.
Hey, and again, you know, I think that the key is contrarian is not sexy. It's not fun. You root for a lot of bad teams. You root for dogs that are gross. You root for unders. And again, you're playing a long game because you can look like an idiot when you're a contrarian. But if you add in the sharp action, if you can beat the closing number, to me, it's about the long-term grind of trying to be with the house, not against it.
Right, and it is a grind. It is a grind. Even though I had a friend that hit a 5-team parlay. I still can't get over it. A 5-team teaser parlay. He did that last weekend. Cashed a pretty big ticket right there, Josh. Proud of him. As betting across America continues, hour number 2, going to get into some MVP odds and also some Super Bowl odds. So update you on all that information. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.